The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning we're going to be in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter 5. All right, some mornings I sit up here and I watch during Children's Corner, and the kids are not awake, and there's not a whole lot of response, and that gives me an indicator that the parents might not be much awake either. Looks like we're all awake this morning. We had a lot of good response from the kids, and appreciate that, Brother Kelly, but remember, you've got your phone up here, so don't forget that when you go looking for it later. All right, we're going to be in the book of 1 John chapter 5. I found this I was going to read before we get started. It says, according to a tradition among the natives of Puerto Rico, there was an island of the Bahamas group which had upon it a marvelous fountain whose waters produced perpetual youth. For this elixir of eternal life, Juan Ponce de Leon, the Spanish navigator, sought long and hard, yet in vain. He looked for this fountain of youth, but he never found it. People have searched everywhere for a way, you know, to find some secret, some way to live forever, or to make it look like they at least stopped aging, right? But this morning, we're going to see in Scripture that as believers, we don't have to go searching for a fountain of youth in order to live forever, but God has given us eternal life. And so 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 9 this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. Says, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in him. And whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your Son, and Father, that through him we have received eternal life. I just ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, Father, that you would draw them to you this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, back there at verse 9, he says, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. The question becomes, you know, who are you going to trust? Who are you going to believe? And if we look at human testimony, a lot of times, you know, if there's witnesses, you know, you're going to believe human testimony. Well, if there's witnesses, three witnesses, maybe, you know, we'll believe what people say. And if we, you know, we'll believe based on three witnesses, how much more should we believe the testimony of God? You know, people will ask sometimes, and I've had people come up to me and ask, you know, well, science is telling us this, but the Bible says this, and it's that trap to try to get you to, you know, prove that you're ignorant about science or you don't believe the Bible. And my answer to that question is, well, go back and check the science again, because what God has said in his word, I will stand on that. I will trust what God has said. I'll trust his testimony. Two things that we see in these verses about God's testimony. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he does not believe in the testimony that God bore concerning his Son. The first thing that we see is that the divine testimony should be accepted because it's greater than human testimony. You know, you get expert witnesses in a courtroom, and even an expert witness can, you know, be wrong, because humans, you know, our understanding, our knowledge is incomplete. God's witness is greater. His testimony is greater. And then willful unbelief is sin. If we trust people to be true to the word, why would we not trust God? God is more trustworthy than people. He's more trustworthy than what man's testimony is. And if a person accepts the testimony of God, he has eternal assurance that he has believed and that it's true. You look at the statement here concerning the testimony of Christ, and so much of 1 John, it's written in order to give assurance to the believer of his salvation. And John is making this case. Verse number 10 there, as it's saying, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. That testimony that's within the heart of the believer, because the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so we have that testimony of the Spirit of God if we've trusted him as Savior. Anyone who rejects God's testimony has made him a liar. That's the two options. There's no middle ground. We either trust God, we've believed in him, we have the witness of God in our life, or we've made him a liar. There's no middle ground. Verse number 11, continuing there, said, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The testimony of God that John is recording here is that we have been given eternal life, and the way that we have eternal life is through his Son, Jesus. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. God's given us eternal life through his Son. That's the point of what John was saying here, and that's the testimony that God is witness to. Eternal life is a free gift. God gives it to those who believe in his Son. Also, eternal life is from God, and it's only through Jesus. You look at it, there's no other way. It's impossible to have life without Christ. It's impossible to receive eternal life apart from Jesus. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And in John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And so the testimony of God that we have here recorded by John is that we have eternal life if we believed in Christ, and if we haven't believed in Christ, then we have no eternal life. Jesus' testimony of himself is that he is life, he is the way. It's only by Christ that we have relationship with God. It's only through Christ that we have our sins forgiven, and it's only through Christ that we have eternal life. People can search for alternatives. They can search for any other kind of way. They can go on, you know, expeditions looking for a fountain of youth in order to live forever and escape death. But it's of no purpose because Jesus is the only way. Within our culture today, and just as throughout human history, you know, there's many belief systems. There's many different ideas about God and people worshiping these gods that they have created in their minds. And, you know, our society would say, well, we should be tolerant of everybody's belief system, and we should recognize that ultimately if a person's sincere and if they believe, you know, they're all headed to the same place. That's a popular idea that's being thrown out within our society. And if we say that Jesus is the only way, we sound very narrow-minded. We sound very closed-minded, you know. To some degree, they would say even hateful towards anyone that doesn't agree with that statement. This morning, we're not hateful towards those that do not believe Christ is the only way. But we continue to preach that Christ is the only way because God's testimony and Christ's own testimony concerning himself is that he is the only way. That's not a hateful thing to say if we believe that people without Christ are dying and going to hell, separated from God throughout eternity. The hateful thing would be to never tell them. The hateful thing would be to continue on and say, yeah, you're doing the best you can. You're doing a good job. You'll probably be fine, knowing what God has said in His Word. We are obligated. If we have love for the people around us, if we have love for those that have not yet come to know Christ as Savior, we are obligated to tell them the truth of what God has said in His Word. We're obligated to tell them about Jesus because He is the only way. When we think about eternal life, a couple of things I wanted to point out from what we've read in Scripture this morning, a few things about eternal life. First, it's not a prize that we've earned or that we could earn. It's not a prize. Second, it's found in Christ, so that in order to give us life, God gave us His Son. It's a gift, and as we think about the fact that eternal life is a gift, it has been given to us that have believed in Christ. It's for the now just as much as for the future. Eternal life means that we have eternity without end with God, but that relationship with God doesn't start when we die, but that eternal life that we've received because of our faith in Christ, it is real now as it will be throughout eternity. We can have that relationship with God now because we've put our trust in Him. Verse number 13, John said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. John gives the explanation. He gives the reason for this letter that he's coming to a conclusion at here for 1 John. And I wanted to take a moment this morning and compare, contrast that to a similar statement he made concerning his gospel. And that's found in John chapter 20, verse 31. It says, concerning his gospel that he wrote, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. The purpose of John's gospel, the book of John, the purpose in that was to give testimony of the words and works of Jesus in order that unbelievers would come to belief in Christ, that they would trust in Jesus. Here in verse number 13, he's saying that I write these to those that believe. He's writing to believers in order that they may know that they have eternal life. It was written so that you would know that you have eternal life. I talked to people a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to somebody at work, and he was talking about church, and he goes to church, and he was talking about, you know, the Bible and those things, but he said, I hope that I do enough to make up for, you know, years ago and some bad things I did, and hopefully I'll make it. You know, he was hoping that he would have eternal life. And we talked about some of these truths because God doesn't want us to spend our life as believers hoping that we're going to make it to heaven. We're either recipients of eternal life or we're not. And if you're not saved, then you need to get saved. And if you are saved, then you can know that you have received eternal life. The letter here, 1 John, it was written to believers. There was false teachers that were causing confusion. There was false teachers that were, you know, causing these believers to become unsure. And John wrote this entire letter to give assurance of salvation and to show that they had received eternal life. It was to establish assurance. This morning, you know, we don't know what the stock markets are going to do at the end of the day. We don't know, you know, what is going to be the next news headline to come up on the TV screen, but we can know the truths that God has said in His Word. We can know the truths concerning Christ and salvation and eternity that we are guaranteed if we've placed our faith in Him. It was important for the believers in John's day to know that they had eternal life. It wasn't just to make them, feel good about themselves. No, it was so that they could go ahead and, you know, enjoy that life that they have in Christ now and be effective in being disciples and telling other people about Christ. It's very difficult to effectively evangelize and to, you know, do your part in telling others about Jesus if you're constantly worrying about, you know, well, am I going to heaven? Am I going to hell? Am I, you know, what does my eternity look like? It's very difficult to move forward. It's essential that the believer that's truly placed faith in Christ know that they're eternally secure in Christ so that then they can serve Him, so that they can tell others about Christ. This morning, as we think about this passage and as we think about John's desire to show the believer that they've received eternal life, as we think about the testimony that God gave concerning His Son, and He says those that have received the Son, it says that this testimony is within Himself. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in Himself. This morning, I can't tell you if you're lost. I can't tell you if you're saved. I can't tell you what your relationship with Christ is. But if you have trusted Christ, there's that testimony in your own spirit. And maybe this morning you sit here and you say, I don't have that testimony of God in my heart. I don't have that testimony in my spirit. I can't tell you a time that I, you know, truly, you know, trusted Christ. This morning, this is the opportunity. This is the time. Maybe, believer, you say, I've been saved for years, but, you know, I've not really matured. I've not really moved forward. I've not really, you know, done anything except, you know, surrender my life. And then that was kind of it. I kind of went back into my old habits. In Hebrews, you know, it talked about the believers that they didn't mature. They didn't move forward because they kept struggling with this. Step one. And so it's important. If you're not saved, this morning the opportunity is for you to come and to accept Christ as Savior. If you are saved, the importance of us to realize that we have eternity with God. But it's not just about after this life, but it's the relationship that we have, the eternal life that we have even today, because we've trusted in Christ. I'm going to ask if you'd bow your heads. We're going to pray and prepare for a time of invitation. Father God, we thank You for today. Father, we thank You for Your word. And Father, we thank You for this assurance that we have. Father, when we don't know what next tragedy, next catastrophe, Father, we don't know what the next headline on the news might be, Father, we know the truth that You've given us in Your word. Father, we know things that don't change. And Father, no one can take away what You've given us in Your Son, Christ. And Father, I ask You to encourage us as a church. Father, that we would cling to what You have said. Father, that we would hold tightly to Christ. Father, that we wouldn't be just anxious with everything that goes on around us, but Father, that we would have peace from You because of who You are and what You've done. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.